That's good. I'm going to kind of do what Clint did. I also grew up in church my entire life, so I never really understood why people would be like, I'm so honored to be in the house, like all of that. But now that I'm on the other side of the podium, I get it. Zach and I were both extremely honored when we were asked to speak. Though we live in Ohio, we consider this our home. A lot of our spiritual heritage is here. This is the altar where my father received the call in his life to ministry. So this is just a really special place for us. We consider you guys family. This is the place where I fell in love with the Lord. So this is a really, really cool honor. So I just want to honor the house and honor Pastor Lisa right now. I think it's so surreal how good the Lord is, and I'm constantly reminded of that. It's weird to say 5 years ago, now this is my fifth year, I was sitting in, I think, the row behind Zach in service, and I got this vision, and it was me when I was older and a little bit taller, and I was up here preaching, and I said to the Lord, that's never going to happen. I don't want that. And he said, we'll see. And he put it away. And I think it's really funny how sometimes he'll bring you around to things, and it's a journey to where he gets you where he wants to be. Oftentimes, the enemy will place the most attack in areas where you're called to be. And so if you're experiencing that right now, then know that the Lord has great things in store for you. So we're talking about Isaiah 54. And so when I was kind of like looking at that as a whole in my Bible, in the New King James Version, it says at the top, a perpetual covenant of peace. And so naturally, when I didn't know something, I texted my human concordance, my father, and I said, what is a covenant? Because he's taught a lot on it. And he had some really interesting things to say. So in the Old Testament, identity was based on what you did and the covenant they had with God. It was between man and God. Today, our covenant is based on what Jesus did. Jamie, if you could throw up Hebrews 9:15. You see this here demonstrated. I think it's really cool. So Jesus is the one who has enacted a new covenant with a new relationship with God, so that those who accept the invitation will receive the eternal inheritance he has promised to us, his heirs. For he died to release us from the guilt of the violations committed under the first covenant. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 54, the covenant of peace. I want to focus on the word inheritance. We're going to come back to that in a little bit. So I'm speaking on peace today, and I think it's actually really funny that I am, because I didn't have peace for a really, really long time. Jamie, if you could throw up Philippians 4:7. So as a lot of you know, Zach and I, we have an older brother by the name of Ben, and he's autistic. And growing up in a household with a special needs sibling is really, really chaotic. It's really unstable, and you don't really know what's going to happen at a lot of times. And so out of that, we kind of had an unstable environment growing up. You didn't really know what was going to happen, and a lot of anxiety was built out of that. And so for years, I struggled with debilitating anxiety. I would throw up on a regular basis. It was hard to do, like, basic tasks because of just this fear thing that got on me. And my parents were both in ministry, and so being raised in that and hearing, like, with Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ. I was like, Lord, I don't see that. Like, where is that? And it was years and years of just going, like, Lord, like, does peace even exist? Like, is peace real? And it was questioning that. And the Lord, like, came to me in just this moment of crisis. And he said, in order to get the peace that passes all understanding, you have to give up the right to understand. And when you think about that, of, like, we're in situations, and you talk about that, of, like, I don't understand. Like, how am I supposed to get peace out of this? Like, it's not your job to understand. It's your job to trust. And so out of that, the Lord slowly started taking me on this journey of learning about peace. And peace is a position of surrender. Surrender means trusting. You trust him enough to be who he says he is and have the confidence to be who he says you are. Peace is bold, guys. For the longest time, I had this assumption that peace was like all good vibes, you know, like rock on. Peace is good, but it's just not good vibes. It's having the confidence and the faith enough to stand in the storm and say, I know you are going to be who you say you are. I know you're faithful. And I know what you have spoken. Let's turn to Isaiah 54:10 in the New King James, our scripture for the week. When I was looking at this, two things really stood out to me. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant or promise of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. So the two things that kind of stood out was first, kind of the first part, of my kindness shall not depart from you. If he is relentlessly pursuing you, he's pursuing you when you don't want him to pursue you. I am a testament of that. I said to the Lord when I was was thinking about kind of my time, because I'm nearing the end of my time here at camp. I was thinking about my first year, and I remember bawling my eyes out the night before camp, and I told my parents, I don't want to go. My mom sat me down, and she's like, why? And I was like, because I know God's going to do something, and I don't want that. And my mom goes, get in the car, you're going. And I think it's really funny of, like, he's relentlessly pursuing you, and he doesn't stop. And you think about that, of, like, that relentless pursuit. And sometimes, like, we say, like, well, I can't really feel him, or I don't really feel his love. If we can't feel his love or we can't feel his presence, it's not because he did something or he went away. It's because we took our eyes off of him. If you want to throw up Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. God's never going to leave you. He's never going to leave you. He's also not going to take away the peace of protection that he gives. That's not something he's going to renege on. He gave his son for it, and he's going to keep it for you. If you want to turn to Isaiah 54:14. Perfect. In righteousness, you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. Verse 14 is so cool because it implies that we've already taken hold of the promise of peace. And it tells us what happens when we do that and take a hold of that. I think it's so awesome because it tells the Lord already told us that a covenant of peace has been established. A promise of peace has been established. So when you look at verse 14, you can declare, like, I'm going to be far from oppression. Like, fear doesn't get to have a hold on me because I know what was spoken. I know what was paid for. Let's go to verse 17. We're kind of skipping around here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. So no weapon formed against you shall remain. So out of that verse, I know the outcome of every single situation I'm ever going to be in, and that is victory. Like, I know what is spoken. Like, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Bible is absolute truth. So I know that if anything rises up against me, it doesn't get a stand. Like, that's what the Lord spoke. I love, and also, and kind of breaking it down again. Where's that? In every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Let's go to Colossians 2:15. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He is not their prisoner. They were his. That verse wrecks me because it's about us taking authority. We have authority in his name. It's about the authority that we get when we get peace. Peace is a bold declaration of confidence. This is the heritage of the Lord. This is the promise of the Lord. I was talking about earlier inheritance, and I'm interning at a law office right now, and they do a lot of estate planning. So what that is essentially is when people come in and they sit down and they write out, like, everything they want to give to, like, their next generation. And what's really interesting is, like, they sign all these documents and they legally bind it and they seal it and they stamp it and they put it away, and no one's allowed to touch it. No one can go back and change what was already written and what was already done. And I think that's such a testament to what was done on the cross. So the promise on the cross is binding. You can't go back and change it. Like, this was already paid for, so why aren't we using it? Like, that's my question to us, is, like, as a generation, like, why aren't we walking out, like, victory? Like, why are we letting anxiety get on us? Like, that's not a condemnation if you're struggling with that. This is an encouragement and a declaration of, you don't have to live with it. Like, we are called to live without fear, so why aren't we? The promise on the cross is binding. It's his covenant of peace. Like, I say to Zach all the time, like, I'm so undone by him. Like, I'm so undone. And, like, we oftentimes, like, in a culture that, like, thrives on being guarded and, like, not, like, it's cool to be stressed out now. Like, how many of you can, like, relate to that? Like, in school, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I've got, like, 8 million assignments. Like, thank you. Yes, like, it's cool at our school to be stressed out. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, the teachers encourage it. Like, no, that's not the lifestyle we were designed to live. Like, it's total reliance on him. It's knowing that, like, the confidence of saying, like, no, peace is my portion. We're going to finish out with Hebrews 7:18-20. It randomly flipped open in my Bible today, and it has nothing to do with what I talked about, but I thought it was such a good declaration, I want to read it over us. The old order of priesthood has been set aside as weak and powerless. For the law has never made anyone perfect, but in its place is a far better hope, which gives us confidence to experience intimacy with God. And he confirmed it to us with his solemn vow, for the former priests took their office without an oath. He is our hope. He is our hope. I titled this message, Peace is a Promise He Keeps, because he's a promise keeper. He doesn't speak something and go back on it. Someone take this.
Amen. Amen. All right. Up next this morning, we have someone that's going to come share with you. Okay, you were looking at me weird. And so this morning, Caleb Murray is going to come share with you. And Caleb's part of the campus ministry. He leads the campus ministry at Marshall. So I think that he has some good words for you, some encouragement. And I think it's awesome anytime that you can listen to someone who's just a few steps ahead of you in the game, right? So he's a few years ahead and deals with young people who are just a few years ahead of where you are. And I think there's a lot of value in that. And I think that you'll find that this morning. So go ahead.
Yeah, that's a hard act to follow. Good job. Yeah, dang, that's good. I wrote that on my notes. Not cool to be stressed out, Tory Leg. So that's awesome. I'm going to pray for us this morning real quick. God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for what you're doing this week at camp. God, I thank you for just the words and just the theme, Lord, and just what you're speaking to our hearts, God. God, I really, really believe that you are just speaking so much to us this week, God, and I really feel that there's some life change happening. And so, God, I just ask that you just meet us here today. Holy Spirit, would you help me to speak? And Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to hear what you would have to say? In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. And that's it. No, I'm just kidding. My name is Caleb, and I work with Chi Alpha. Hey. So I work with Chi Alpha Campus Ministries. It is a college ministry, basically church light on campus. It's like church, except with all the out the old people and babies. So, just college students. We do like weekly. If you are going to college, I encourage you, while you're there, don't just, be like, well, I got a church back home. Get connected with a local church there. You need a community, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. You need community in your life. If it's a campus ministry, if it's church, if it's just a couple of people on your floor in a Bible study, get connected with somebody. It's going to be crucial for your walk. When I got to college, my faith, not that I was, whatever before, but it just really exploded when I got to college, and I think that's due to a couple things. One, you're no longer at your parents' house, and so your faith, you have to decide for yourself, is this going to be mine or is this going to be theirs, and I'm going to leave that there. And so it was awesome. I had a partner to go with me, Brooke. She went to college with me. She followed me there. I took care of her all the time and when she was sick. And okay. It was from the water fountain. It was from the water fountain. Man, she just threw me under the bus. College is a journey. An adventure. And so as Jason was talking the other night, before he got up to speak and before he got up to talk, during the worship service, God started to speak some things to me. And then he started to talk, and I was like, dang it. Well, I guess that's it. I guess I'm not speaking this week. But I think what it is that God is wanting to tell us something this week. God wants to take us on a journey. God wants to take us on an adventure. And really the only thing we have to do is say yes. You know, and that's what I'm going to talk to you guys about today. I'm going to talk about some camping. I'm going to talk about some backpacking. I might mention Bear Grylls. But I'm going to talk about our journey and the adventure that we have with God. But before I do, I want to clear something up. One of the greatest lies ever told was saying that Christians should be boring. Okay, that's a lie. People think, oh, I don't want to do this. Blah blah blah. You know, that's boring. I gotta you know sit in my room all day and do nothing and clasp my hands and pray that I don't go to hell or whatever. But that's not what it is. A church should be the most interesting place we have on this earth, right? You know, because I mean, have you guys been bored this week? No? Okay, good. It would be bad if everybody was like, yeah, golly. Man, liven this place up. There are some interesting people in here. You've met some of them. You've heard some of them speak. but it should be the most interesting place. We should go into places and we be the most interesting people in there. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, everybody else is boring, but because we have Christ, because we know who we are in him, that makes us interesting. And so I just want to clear that out real quick. I like the way John Piper says it. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Yeah, I didn't say it, but that's good. It is that. When we are satisfied in Christ, when we know who we are, and when we are enjoying ourselves in him, then God gets the glory for that. And then God is glorified. Then God is seen. And they say, wait, I want some of that. And then I say, okay, just come on. I liked it. Somebody else said it a different way. He said, being a Christian is knowing God and enjoying him forever. And so it's not something that just doesn't stop with salvation. It's not just a get out of hell free card. It's getting able to live eternally with him, abundant life starting right now. Experiencing all that he has for you. And so that's my first point. And I'm like a teacher by trade, and so I like bullet points. I usually have a PowerPoint. And I'm long-winded like a lecture, so hopefully I got like 20 minutes, so I think you will be all right this morning. But that's my first point, that God wants to take you on an adventure, right? It's going to be different for everybody, but every single one of you is going to go on an adventure with the Lord. And all we have to do is yes. All we have to say is yes. All we have to do is be obedient and say, yeah, God, I'll do it. I'll go with you, right? A couple of weeks ago, or I guess it's probably been like a month now, I went on a backpacking trip with a couple of buddies of mine. I've never went backpacking before. I've been camping, but like in a camper, and I've been camping like in somebody's backyard and stuff. This was like to the point where it was like scary, and so we're talking with my buddy and I'm, you know, we're trying to figure this out. But ultimately what started it is he was like, you want to go, you know, backpacking, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And that's how it starts, is I just said yes. And then once I said yes, we didn't have the details planned out. We didn't know where we were going yet. We didn't know what we were going to take yet. But I just had to say yes. And then once he said yes, then we started figuring out, okay, where we're going to go. Are we going to go to the Dolly Sods? No, because it snows in the summertime there. Are we going to go to blah, blah, blah? I don't know very many places because I've never been. And anyways, we settled on the Cranberry Wilderness in central West Virginia, which is just gorgeous. If you want to see pictures, come to me afterwards. West Virginia is the most beautiful state. By far. it is a beautiful state. I love where I'm from. It's weird. The older you get, the more you appreciate where you're from. But the first thing I'd do is say yes. My friends weren't going to come to my house and you know, rip me out of my bed. That'd be weird because I, you know, sleep with my wife. And sorry. Oh, man. I embarrass her every time I speak. But anyways, we can talk about marriage another time, girls and boys. Maybe I'll have to say something about it tonight at the door. But God is not going to force you to do anything because he cares about you. He's not going to force you to do something because he loves you. He gives us that choice. Being able to choose, that's love. You know, giving somebody the ability to choose, that's love. Forcing somebody into something, that's not love. And so he gives us the ability to choose. He's not going to force you into doing it, but he desires you to do it. And he desires what's best for you. He desires an adventure for you. God desires all people to know him and to know who they are in him. So all we have to do is yes. All we have to do, Romans 10:13 says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not to some like dull, like boring, robe wearing life, but it is, I mean, if you want to wear robes, that's fine. But it's as John 10:10 says, life to the full or life abundant. It's a full life. It's an abundant life. It's a life filled with adventure. And when we went backpacking, we went on an adventure. God has created you to be unique, right? And not a false unique that happens sometimes where we try to come up with, you know, different things or blah, blah, blah. But God has created you unique from before you were even born, before you even knew what that was. A divine uniqueness. And he has created you for a specific and creative purpose. It's not just a standard, factory destiny that he just, you know, pumps out and he prints and then he sends to the next thing. We live in a post-industrial age. You guys might not understand that. I don't know if any of you work in a factory, but my dad does. But anyways, and so it's specific. It is unique. And today I'm going to share a lot of scripture because I don't want you just to take my word for it. I want you to know for yourself. My pap used to say, know the Bible for yourself or know God for yourself. And so I want you guys to go away today. And if you don't have any pen or paper, that's fine. You can come up afterwards. You can get your phones out. Write down these scriptures to remember. Like Clint said, put them up on your wall, right? Remind yourself who you are. I did this devotional with a guy, and I drew myself as I saw myself, which was like this huge buff guy with a cut-off flannel and like sunglasses and a mullet and elf ears. I don't know what I was going for there. I'm just kidding. I really did draw that. But and I put it up on my mirror, and with like a word bubble, it said, I am. And then I just listed all the promises that God said about me. And so I wanted to give you guys some scriptures to take away to know that God has created you unique, and he has created you for unique and a creative purpose, right? He has an adventure set aside for each one of you. Not everybody's going to the Cranberry Wilderness. Some people are going to the snowy Dolly Sods in the middle of winter. Don't do that. So the first scripture I want to share with you guys today is Psalms 139:13. Yeah, no, you're fine. I blew past a ton of them, so. Yeah, Psalms 139:13. Yeah, that works. Sweet. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And what's the next verse on that? Oh, that's all right. No, you're fine. There he is. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. All right, so that's Psalms 139, 13, and 14. I praise you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully. And then it goes on to say in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. 16 goes on to say, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Right? And so I like how it says woven together. It's not that you were stamped out. It's not like God had a mold and he, you know, filled it with clay and then he, you know, brought it to life and stuff. It is that God creatively took his hands and he created you. He wove you together. That takes intent. That takes purpose to that. There's not, that doesn't just happen, right? I mean, if you know somebody who makes quilts, my mom, she can make quilts, and it takes time and it takes purpose, and you have to know what you want out of it. And so God, it doesn't just poop you out. He weaves you together, and he creatively builds you, who you are, every part of you. And he doesn't just make, one of those, like, wimpy, you know, 6 or 3 inch, like, Star Wars figures. He creates the, like, 12-inch G.I. Joe, I mean, fearful, wonderfully made figures. That's God. There is a design to who you are, and it is good and it is wonderful, right? But not only are you unique, but he has creative purpose for you. Jeremiah 29:11. It says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Right? That there are great plans that he has for each of you. And it's not something that, again, it's not something that is generic, but it is for you. Right? We are all called, right? Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, 20. I had a shirt on yesterday that helped me remember, but I don't today. But it says to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And I believe that we are all called to make disciples, but I don't believe that we're all called to be pastors. Yeah. You know, is that... That and I tell people that we are all called to make disciples, but we're not all called to be pastors. Some of us are going to be making disciples in the entertainment industry. Some of us are going to be making disciples in industry. Some of us are going to be making disciples in the classroom, right? That we aren't called to just be ministers in a church, but we're called to be ministers in the world, right? Because the people in the church already know who Jesus is, right? Hopefully. And, you know, obviously new people come in. But the people that aren't are the ones that need to know who they are. And so our job is to expand the kingdom of God into every corner of this earth. To not just churches, not just little communities, not just America, but to the entire world. Some of you guys are not going to live in West Virginia forever, and that's cool. Go where God's calling you to go, even though it's the best state. you know, we have at Chi Alpha, we have guys from everywhere, and ladies. You know, I had somebody who was biology pre-med. I have some guys that are computer programmers or game design or teachers, and they're coming from all different places. And if they continue to go into that, they're going to have Christians that know who they are and know who the people in their circles are. They're going to be able to minister to the people that I'll never be able to minister to, right? At the university, we have the great opportunity to talk to international students. And so we can minister to every part of the world right on our campus. And as you guys go to college, you can minister to every part of the world right on your campus. You just have to go and reach out to them. To tell them who they are in Christ. We need people to go and to change atmosphere, to bring healing, and to introduce people to Jesus. I'm not saying that's always going to be easy, right? I'm not saying that it's going to be up on the mountaintop all the time. Jesus didn't promise that, and I'm not going to promise it either. Sometimes it's going to be hard, and that's not because God is, you know, like Josh Bunton said last night, it's not because God has punished you or doing something like that, but that's because there's people that don't know who they are yet. And there's still some brokenness out there. There's still some people that need healing. There's still some things that need healing in our world. And so sometimes it's going to be hard, but I can promise you that it will be an adventure. And when it is hard, he'll be there. That's the promise, is that when it is hard, that he'll be there. He'll be there on the mountaintop. He'll be in there in the valley. He'll be in the campground, and he'll be in the wilderness. As we were walking on our hike, as we walked through these woods, we started up super high, and it gave us so much false hope. Because we're like, this is easy. You know, we started on the mountaintop. And so we're walking through, and then we started seeing all this, like, predator poop with, like, hair and teeth in it. And we're like, okay, this is starting to get a little spooky, but we're on the mountaintop. Look at this view, you know, it's so cool. There's, you know, we'd never seen this terrain before. But then we started to see this poop, and then we're like, oh gosh, this is scary. And I'm pretty sure that night a coyote stepped on my head. But that's like half a joke, half serious. And so then it started to get hard. Literally, it was hard to lift my head. And then we started walking up the hill, and that got hard. You know, after you walk 6 miles and then you start walking up a hill the next day after sleeping on the ground, that's hard. what'd he say? Okay. Jeez. And so that's my second point, is there's going to be both mountaintops and valleys, okay? There's going to be both campgrounds and wilderness. Sometimes you're going to be hiking up a hill, and it's going to be hard, and sometimes you're going to be hiking down a hill, and that's going to be pretty easy. But God will be with you every step of the way. If we go back to what it said before Psalms 139:13, in Psalms 139:8, if you guys want to turn there. It says this: if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Is that wherever we go, you know, and sometimes it's our own fault. Sometimes it's just where we're at. You know, sometimes the fault of others. But every step of the way, God is there. And sometimes we're going to have to keep saying yes. You know, on that hiking trip, like, when we got to where we're going, it was a lot longer than we thought. And we had, like, all of our stuff on our back. We had, like, you know, 40-pound packs. It might not sound like a lot, but it is a lot after hiking for miles and miles. And when you look like I do. So we had to keep saying yes. Like, when we got there, they were like, okay, we need to find, like, a car or something to give us a ride back, you know. And we need, you know, and there's this guy that came by on a horse, and that was, like, an option. We're like, maybe we can get him to, like, you know, drag us back, or maybe we can get a bicycle, or maybe we'll have a cell phone we can call, like, the police. Like, but we had to keep saying yes. That was a point where it was hard. It was the middle of the journey, and it was hard. And we had to keep saying yes. But what helped is that I had two guys there that were on the same journey with me. And so Isaiah 54:10, and this is our theme scripture for the week. Just want to say that one. And this kind of just more illuminates that point. Though the mountains may be shaken, the hills may be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. All right? That it's not going to change who we are in Christ. It's not going to change our relationship with God, the situations that we're in. And so not only will he be there with you, but he's going to give you the right gear to accomplish what he has called you to do, right? And so that's my third point, is that he has equipped you, right? He has given you the right gear to go where you have to go. You're not all going to go to the same place, and you're not going to all go and do the same thing. But whatever he's called you to do, he's equipped you to do it. And so, and Jesus knows how to survive, right? Jesus survived for 40 days out in the wilderness, fasting, and then he like fought off the devil, right? Bear Grylls, he goes like 3 days and then he starts drinking his own pee. And so Jesus knows what it takes to survive, knows what it takes to make it, right? In 3 days for Jesus, he died, was buried, defeated death in the grave, and then rose back to life, right? He knows what it takes. And so when we are going, I used to do this thing when I was in high school. We called it surviving. Basically, it's like just crappy camping. Like you go out into the wilderness and you just don't bring anything, or you bring like half your stuff, and it just sucks, and it's not fun. Like I don't know why we kept doing it. Like every time we were like, yeah, let's never do this again, and then we just kept going, and we're like, well, let's do winter surviving. That'll be better. It's not. It's worse. you know that flint and steel? We used flint and steel to light a winter fire. And so me and my cousin Travis are like laying on the ground in like a circle, like with our legs and arms connected, and we're blowing and we're sparking this thing for like 40 minutes to try to get this fire. And when the fire, it was like we just like got checked into like a 5-star hotel. We're like jumping up and cheering and we're like, yeah. And then that night, it got so cold. It got like, I think it was like 4 degrees or something like that. It was, yeah, don't do what I do. And then his mom made us like homemade burritos the next morning. It was awesome. Because we hiked back to his house. But Jesus, when he calls us to go somewhere, he doesn't send us without any gear, right? He doesn't say, well, just try to survive, you know, on these potatoes and, you know, the extra pair of socks you packed. No, but Jesus, when he calls us to go somewhere, he gives us the right gear to make it, right? And you guys got a taste of that. And I really like that Jeremy spoke the other night and talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the most powerful weapon that we have as Christians. That is the most powerful gift that is given to us, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit as a person coming to live inside of us and to lead us into everything that we do, to empower us, right? Acts 1:8 says this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's red letters. That's what Jesus said. Is that the Holy Spirit, it's not some spooky, sensationalist event. But it is the literal power of God empowering us to do whatever he has called us to do. Right? It is an experience that will change us forever. And so I encourage you, if you haven't received that or if you don't know what that is, come talk to us. You know, if you fell asleep during Jeremy's preaching, like some of you are now. No, I'm just kidding. Come talk to us and we'll tell you about it and we'll pray for that. Receive that because that is going to empower you to do what God has called you to do. Whether it be a pastor or whether it be a computer programmer, right? And so through that empowering, not all of us are going to be gifted the same way. If you go to 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says this, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to them to each one just as he determines. Right? And then he goes on to talk about unity and diversity in the body, and because we are all different, that makes the body stronger. And so everyone is not going to have the same gifts, right? Some of you might be really good at speaking in front of people, and some of you might not, and that's okay. Some of you might be good at speaking to somebody one-on-one. Some of you might be good at administrative stuff, you know. My dad's a pro at administrating stuff, you know, and that's hard. And that takes a different skill set, that takes a different personality, that takes different spiritual gifts. But it makes us stronger. If everybody at camp, if all the counselors, if all the leaders at camp had the same gifts, it would probably be a mess or boring. But we don't. But we are all gifted in different ways, and because of that, that makes it so much better, and that makes things flow so much better, and we learn so much more because of that. And so use the gifts that God has given you in the community that he has placed you into. Right? He's creative. He's specific. He has intent behind what he does. You might be what that church needs, or you might be what that ministry needs. Right? There's a question we ask, we took this question, we switched it, is that we were, you know, students coming to college and we read this article and stuff, and we always ask, you know, what's your major, what are you going to do, blah, 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 and if you switch it, it's saying, what can you offer the world? What do you have to offer? Not what you're trying to get out, but what do you have to offer? Right? When you go into a place, not just taking, and that's important. It's important that we're getting poured into. But what do you have to offer? Right? To the churches that you came from, or to the places that you're at, or to the schools that you're in. What can you do to change the atmosphere? What can you do to help the situation, to bring healing and restoration to that place? We didn't all have the same gear, all right? We didn't all have camp stoves. Because then we wouldn't have food to cook on the stove. But we didn't all have, the tents. One of us carried the tents. One of us carried the camp stove. One of us carried, we probably needed more gear, but one of us carried a gun. One of us carried, because we were seeing predator poop. There was bears and coyotes and mountain lions. Oh, my. And so we didn't all have the same gear, but we all had something to carry and we all had something to bring to the table. And the thing is that if we didn't have those other people that to bear with each other, then we wouldn't have been as successful. Galatians 6:2 says this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. We have different gear, and we couldn't have done it without everybody taking a little bit of it. We couldn't have just carry our own stuff. We had to carry other people's stuff, right? I had to carry more water, you know. And one person had to carry, two sleeping bags, and another person had to carry, you know, we carried each other's gear. And at one point we even switched because, you know, my friend's pack was heavier than mine, and so I switched, and I started carrying his pack for a while. And that's why it's so important for you to get involved with the community. Wherever you go, whether it be in high school or whether you're going off to college, get involved with the community there, a ministry to help support you, to help carry the burden, to bear with you as you go on your journey, as you take that adventure. Because that's how you're going to get to where you're supposed to go. My senior year of college, and I'm not going to tell you my whole life story, but just so you know that this is real. It's not just, you know, a camping analogy attached to a couple of scriptures. But just so you know this is real, my senior year of college, and you guys are senior year of high school, maybe some of you. I had no idea what I wanted to do. It should have been pretty plain to me because I graduated with a teaching degree, so be a teacher because it's, you know, easy. Not teaching. But getting a job as a teacher when you have a teaching degree and a teaching license. Easier. Anyways. I know teaching. And so that should have been the option that I was thinking of. And I had that option. I was like, well, like, you know, I could go teach, you know, back home. I could teach here. I could teach in Arizona because I saw some cool, you know, thing there. I was like, oh, I can go teach in China. I can do this, blah, 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 blah. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. And really, I hated Huntington so much, and I was so done with it. I don't know what that was from, but at Marshall, I was done with it. I was wanting to get out. I was wanting to break free, you know. And then God, I was wondering what I was going to do. I don't know if I was here, if I was somewhere else, or where I was at. But we're like, if you want to know what God wants you to do with your life, or you want to know what's next for you, just pray. And I was like, oh, that's pretty easy. And so I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? And it was pretty clear that he said Chi Alpha. And I was like, I better pray some more and talk to some more people and see if that's really what I heard. And so I prayed and I talked to some more people. And there was just a lot of fear that was with that. You know, fear of what my family might think, fear of how I was going to do it. You know, part of my job is fundraising, and that was something fearful for me. And so there was a lot of fears attached, but there was something that God, and whether it had been spoken over me or whether it been something in my heart that God had placed there to pastor. And so I knew that God, this is what God wanted me to do. I saw the need, and I was able to fill that need. And so as soon as I said yes, as soon as I agreed to go on this adventure with God, he began to just to open myself up. I began to fall in love with the city I was in. I began to fall in love with the students. I began to make connections with people that to help me on my journey. I began to have the resources that I needed to complete what I needed to do. I began to understand what it really meant to be a pastor and what it really meant to lead people. And through that, through saying yes, through that saying, okay, God, I'll go where you've called me to go, and I'll be what you called me to be. Through that, I met my wife. Through that, I've gone to, go to different places. I've gotten to meet new people. I've gotten to explore my faith. I've gotten to really study deeply of what it means to walk out this faith and what it means to lead people. And so what I'm saying is that it will be the greatest thing you ever do is to decide to go where God has called you to go. To say yes to the adventure that he's calling you to do. To be what he has called you to be. And when you say yes, it's not that he leaves you out there in a mess. And it's not that he goes, okay, go figure it out. But he equips you. He puts people in your life to walk with you and to run with you. I have some of the best student leaders, you know, on any campus. and it's because God knows that that's what I needed to do what he's called me to do. I have a supportive wife that doesn't, you know, nag all, you know, I'm just kidding. But that supports me and doesn't pull away from the ministry. You know, I just got a girl to come on staff this semester that helps me with that side of the ministry. And I have good leadership in my district to lead and to guide and to, you know, support me in what I do. I have, you know, faithful supporters, and when I call up and ask, and they're like, yeah, I want to keep doing this, or this is what I think would help you out, or this is blah, blah, blah. And so I'll remind you again today is that God wants to take you on an adventure. All you got to say is yes. Sometimes it's going to be hard, but he's going to be there the whole time. And if he's called you to something, he's going to equip you to do it. He's not going to just leave you hanging. He's going to equip you to do it. I firmly believe if God has called you to something, he's going to make a way for you to do it. right? And sometimes you just got to keep saying yes. So that's all I got for you this morning. If you guys are going to college and you want to know how to get involved with, you know, campus ministry, things like that, please come talk to me afterwards. It doesn't have to be Chi Alpha. There's multiple other campus ministries. But let me know if you're going to college.